Without further ado, I will announce our 10-minute speaker, Aaron from Arroyo Grande, I believe, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Hello, my name is Aaron. I'm an alcoholic. I'm just going to start this so I don't go too long. Okay, well, thank you for asking me to do this 10-minute speaker. It's pretty awesome. I think Glenn or maybe Joseph was the one who asked. Welcome to the newcomers. Glad you're here. Well, I have a home group, which I now is the 5:30 Thursday at the Mesa. It's a book study. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I secretary a business meeting there. It's the steering committee meeting. That's fun. I stumbled into this program, you know, the largest organization that no one wants to be a part of at the beginning anyhow. But I did get here with the gift of desperation. I am an alcoholic. I am a mother of four. I've been married for 19 years. My first drunk I can remember was probably when I was 16. I went to the graduate with some friends, and looking back, I was dressed too inappropriately for the age of 16, but I was also raised in an alcoholic addict household, so it went unnoticed. I remember we drank vodka in these plastic cups with a little bit of orange juice, and we called them screwdrivers. I remember getting sick in the parking lot after dancing inside a club that I was supposed to be 18 to get into, but I was 16. And I woke up the next morning in my bed, and there was puke all in my hair and all next to me in my bed. So of course, let's do it again next weekend, right? And that's how it started. I can't say that my alcoholism really kicked in wholeheartedly until I'd say 30s maybe, but once that started, it was just kind of a gangbusters. I lost a child in 2006, and then my mom passed in 2007, and that was tough. And from then on, my drinking progressed. The book says that women especially have a progression that's incredibly quick, and mine was pretty much that. I had the intention of getting drunk every time I drank. I couldn't drink a drink, no glass of wine, no beer. It was a couple to several bottles a night, and then eventually just progress to the hard stuff because it was quicker. I had my first DUI, my one and only DUI, 2013, and I'd like to say I got scared straight. I drove in a blackout because I'm a blackout drinker. I got pulled over after hitting a parked car, which was literally from here to the end of that wall. My BAC was 0.24. So I was thrown in jail until I could sober up, which I remember leaving jail incredibly drunk still. So, but I got scared straight. No program. It wasn't ordered AA or anything by the judge. It was just pay your fines, do your DUI classes, and then you'll get your license back in a year. So that's what I did. I didn't drink for a whole year. And then the cunning, baffling, and power... The cunning and baffling part of this disease. I was putting clothes away in my bedroom one night, and I was putting my husband's socks away, and beneath it, I had put some stuff away, and I found a bottle that I had hidden from like a year ago. Yeah, and how stupid was I to put my bottle beneath my husband's shit? So, there was like that much left in the bottle. So I thought, it was 7 o'clock, I remember, 7 o'clock. I thought, oh, I can drink this and I'll be fine. Nobody will even know. And nobody did. Nobody knew. But boom, did that obsession kick in immediately. So I finished off that bottle. I was feeling super awesome. 11 o'clock that night, I'm thinking, okay, so tomorrow I'll wake up in the morning, I'll take the kids to school, and then I will pick up some, get my drink on during the day, because I was also a day drinker, and then I'll be, you know, able to do my pass out between 11 and 1, sober up, and then go get them from school. And thus it started. And that was a 2-year nightmare. It was a 2-year nightmare. And it just got worse and worse. I found myself in 3 different mental institutions. The last one was terrifying. I was in a hallucinating state for 5 days before my husband took me to Hemet. And it was a horrible experience. Anybody that's had hallucinations are terrifying. You know, people are talking to you, people are trying to kill you, people are telling you what to do. People won't leave you alone. Walls are closing in on you, literally. But that didn't clear me up either. March of 2016, I had enough. My family was driving me crazy. I can't take it anymore. They don't get me. I just want to be left alone. Why won't they just leave me alone? I'm a good mom. I'm a damn good mom, right? I was so not present. My kids didn't want anything to do with me. They were terrified of me. They wound up spending a lot of their time at my in-laws' house, their grandparents' house, because mommy was unpredictable. I wasn't angry. I was incredibly emotional because I was broken on the inside. And so in March, I decided to check myself into a hotel. That'll show them, right? It's just going to be a night. And then 3 days into it, I'm drinking vodka and I'm not eating. 3 days into it, I had decided that this is what I was supposed to do. I'm trying to kill myself. This is how it's going to work. Because I don't know about you, but I was the type with, fuck God, just take me tonight. I won't wake up tomorrow. Thank you, thank you. In the morning I wake up like, fuck, really? Come on. So, obviously it wasn't my time. I spent 7 days in that hotel room trying to kill myself. My husband picked me up from the hotel. He took me home. I laid in bed. I had the shakes, and I had been vomiting for 4 hours. Still, you know, nothing in my stomach, but I ran out of booze, and I had no car because my husband didn't let me take the car. Smart. And he said, I'm taking you to rehab. So he packed my bag, which was 2 pairs of pants and a bunch of shirts. And I was supposed to be gone for 5 days. And turned out to be 42 days. And in there I learned causes and conditions behind my alcoholism. I learned what alcoholism was and how this is a disease. And I am bodily and mentally allergic to this. And emotionally, I was pretty distraught. And if it hadn't been for that program that I was blessed to be a part of, I probably wouldn't still be sober today because they introduced me to the 12 steps of AA. And on my 42nd day, I came home. My 43rd day, I was at a meeting. And I went to the Mesa in Arroyo Grande, and I was greeted with such amazing openness and love that I wasn't expecting. Because if you know what the hell I did when I was out there drinking actively, hell no, I'm not worth a second glance. I was a horrible mother. I was a horrible wife. I was a menace to everybody. Selfish, self-centered. Dangerous. I was dangerous. So I found this really rad sponsor. Actually, she kind of found me. She just kind of swooped up on me and said, what step are you on? In rehab, I got a temporary sponsor. We did 1 through 3. And then I immediately got started on my steps. We got to my 4th step. And everybody said, oh, the 4th step. Ooh, the 5th step. Ooh. But for some reason, because I had nowhere to go but up, I embraced it. And it's either all or nothing for this one, I suppose. So I'm all in. And I was loved, and I still am, until I could find some good in me, because I didn't find any value in me. I was a horrible person and not worthy of anybody's love. But AA loved me until I could show my face. I used to sit against the wall at the Mesa and I wouldn't talk to anybody, and people would grab me. This program just grabbed me. Come talk to us. I'm like, you don't want to hear what I have to say. Really, you don't. And my sponsor promised me that there would be nothing that I could say that would shock anybody or make them run away screaming. And I swear I thought you all were full of shit, because who does that? Well, we do that. I mean, what a blessing this program is for me, for my children, for my husband. I have been able to repair stuff that I think, if I wasn't in this program, absolutely unforgivable. Absolutely unforgivable. And through working these steps and being brutally, brutally honest and willing to work to make my life something positive today. I mean, getting really honest is hard. Taking a look at who you are and what you've done is some tough stuff. But I felt safe in these rooms for the first time in my life. I don't feel any judgment. I'm sure everybody's judgy. But I don't feel that core judgment, you know? Like, oh my God, did you hear what she did? She drank that much? Are you kidding me? I'm just truly blessed to be a part of something that's bigger than I ever thought I would be part of. All inclusive. We all suffer from the same affliction to one degree or the other. And I will keep coming back. And thank you all for being part of my sobriety.